back in October, I went to a conference, Linda and I did, that I go to every year. It's with the Association of Covenant Ministries. How many of you in this room have been to that in Ohio or elsewhere? Some of you have, yeah. So this is a great group of people, and I just look forward to this every year, spending time with them. And I want to take just a few minutes to invite you to join with me in meeting these people. That's Brian and Kathy Emmett up in the left-hand corner, long friends. Brian is a Harvard graduate, and his wife went to, it's either Smith or Wellesley. I can't remember which one of those two colleges up there. And he just retired from the church in Boston that he pastored, and now they're living in North Carolina. He's one of my absolute favorite speakers at the conference. And on the other, he's on the left side, on the far right side, that's Randy Cunningham and his wife, Carolyn. He's a veterinarian, also the pastor of the church in San Antonio, Texas. And they're the parents of 11 kids. Whoa. Yeah. I was glad the Dawsons are here today. Somebody to compete with you guys. And then in the middle, who's that? Jamie and Kathy Johnson, yes. And yesterday, their son Joey was married. So, yeah, and just love them dearly. Got to have a meal with them and with Brian and Kathy, and then with Chuck and Cherie down in the left-hand corner. Chuck shared with us a few months ago, and right now he's overseas. I can't remember where he is. He travels so much, I can't keep up with the countries he's in. But anyway, the Lord's using him in a big way. In the middle there is Mark Puttick and his wife, Sherry. They're pastors. He's a pastor there in the church near Columbus in Lancaster, Ohio. Always enjoy when he shares, too. He has some great messages. And then Chris and Donna Hyatt. Now, you all wouldn't know them. But how many of you men remember Roger Hyatt at the men's retreat? He prophesied over some of you. Yeah. Where's Bob? Where'd Bob go? Oh, okay. Whatever. All right. So... Roger is Chris's dad, and you know, like many of us, some of these people have been through some very difficult journeys and times. This is not gossip or anything; it's part of their testimony. Chris was—I remember meeting Chris in the early '90s. He was an amazing young man. He could lead worship and preach. He could do it all, and he was made pastor of the church in San Antonio, Texas, in the early '90s. Or mid-90s, and it wasn't long after that that he walked away from the Lord and from his family. In fact, he walked into the world of homosexuality and drugs, and for 10 years he lived in that world and contracted AIDS. Honestly, I never thought that his life would ever be redeemed again. I have to be honest, I'd given up hope. And in 2008, he began to, he actually was close to death, and his brother said, "Dad," to Roger Hyatt, "you need to bring Chris into your house. I don't think he's going to live." And God spared his life. He came back to faith, to his wife. She waited for 10 years, came back to her and to his kids. Their marriage was restored, and now he's the pastor of the church in Atlanta, and that's one of the strongest churches in our whole network of churches. It's just an amazing, amazing story of God's grace, of his redemption. Yeah. He's a wonderful man, and I love it when he shares, too, at the conferences. Leroy and Judy Curtis there have been long friends of ours. Leroy began the Kenya Ministry Training Institute in Kenya, Africa, which trains pastors. That's been doing that since the early 90s, and they've trained hundreds of pastors. He's now back stateside. You can see him in the bottom right with his wife, Judy. Oh, I didn't switch it. I switched it on my thing, but not on yours. Sorry. I'm sorry. There's Leroy and Judy. There's Leroy and I have a common affinity. He was also in the Navy, served off the coast of Vietnam in the Vietnam War. He's a graduate of North Carolina, was in the ROTC there, and has subsequently earned his doctorate degree. as has Robert Grant in the middle there. In the lower right? Leroy's in the lower right and in the lower left. Got it? Okay. And there's Robert and Sue Grant, whom I've known the longest. The picture up in the right is Robert when I about the time I met him in 1973. About that, huh? Bell bottoms and all. Yeah. Remember those? Pardon me? He and Sue are on the right. Yeah, that's for Elsa, that's Jim and Debbie Mathias on the left there. You know them if you can see them. Yeah, back in the day. So I just value these friendships and relationships. This conference every year, some groups are joined together by values, some are joined together by doctrine, some are joined together by other means and methods. We're joined together by two things, a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with one another. That's what keeps us together year after year. The worship at the conference, I'm not sure if this video will come up, but let's see if it does. It's always awesome. Let's see if it'll come up. Will it come up? Nope, it's not going to come up. I didn't think it would. All right, so the worship, they had three worship leaders leading us, so that was pretty cool. So what I've done for the last several years is I've shared out of the messages. So they have two people presenting a message at each session with one common theme. And it's amazing. There's no coordination of that. They don't work together to plan. You talk about this, you talk about that. And yet it's seamless the way it comes out. It's absolutely beautiful. So the message this year fits in so well with what we've heard this morning. I just thought, Lord, thank you. This is so cool. So yeah, that's okay if we don't see the video. We can just move on here. But get me back up there if you don't mind. So the title of the theme this year was With You. And the words are, Jesus is God with us, God with you, all that God is, all that God purposes, all of God's fullness is with us in Jesus, and we are called to respond to live a with you life towards God. With you. So, there we go. Thank you. So what does it mean to be with someone? Okay, what does it mean to be with someone? Well, sometimes we men can go shopping with our wives. I found that picture on the internet, but that's the way I look when I go shopping, okay? With my wife. Yeah, that's definitely me. She gets more and more energy every store she goes to, and I get less and less energy every store I go to. So, how many of you men can relate to that, huh? Yeah, I see a lot of hands. Okay. Now, there are some men that are shoppers. I've got our oldest son, Eric. He's one, but there are some that are. But most of us, that's the way we look. Or how about shoveling out your cul-de-sac of 2 feet of snow with your neighbors? We did that some years ago in one of our big snows. The plows didn't come through, so we all got out. All the neighborhood got out with our shovels. So we were with our neighbors. Okay? And lastly, how about being with 71,000 fans at M&T Bank Stadium watching the Ravens? Yeah, so all those are different ways. I won't make any more comments on that, I promise, Bob. All of those are examples of with, right? Is that correct? Am I right? They're all with. But how many of you would agree with me? It's different being with your wife or your husband or your friend than it is being with a group of neighbors, than it is being with 70,000 people, you know, where you don't even know anyone or everyone there. All those are different occasions of with. Well, what are the goals of God the Father? How does He fit into this? Is it to make it as difficult as possible to know Him? Is it to limit our access to Him to a particular time and or place? Is it to populate hell with as many people as possible? You know, I don't think so, but I think there's some believers that the way they talk and act, that's what you would think they want to see happen. You know? Sad but true. Or is it to unite us with himself both now and forever? Hallelujah. Yes. Well, let me share with you a story that's not unfamiliar with you from Genesis. And this is the story of Jacob and Esau. And remember what happened to Jacob and Esau. What did Jacob do? He stole the birthright. Thank you. He stole his brother's birthright. And how did Esau feel about that? He was so mad, he wanted to do what, Bill? He wanted to kill his brother. Yeah. He was out after him. Now, so Jacob's mom said, hey, you got to leave or else I'm going to lose a son. So she sent him off to be with their good friend, the wonderful, honest man who had never deceived anyone in his life, Uncle Laban. Good old Uncle Laban. Don't you love Uncle Laban? Yeah. So he goes to, he's traveling there, and he uses a rock for a pillow, the scripture says. Anybody used a rock for a pillow? I don't think you get a very good night's sleep that way. Fred's raising his hand. He uses a rock for a pillow, and he has a dream. And God comes to him in the dream and says, no, I am with you, and I watch over you no matter where you go. Genesis 28, verse 15. And then the next day when he woke up, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Have you ever had a time in your life when then later on you said, you know something? The Lord was here. The Lord was there, and I didn't even know it. You know, I realized, wow, that was the Lord. Have you ever had something happen? You've prayed, Lord, order my steps today, direct my pathways. And then at the end of the day, or maybe the next morning when you're thinking over that previous day, you go, whoa, the Lord did something. And I didn't even realize it. Yeah, a little different story, but similar. I remember back, this is a long time ago, back in the early 80s, and the church I was with, Covenant Community Church, we had a joint evening with the Word of God, Lamb of God Community, joining with the Lamb of God Community, and now I just drew a big blank. He was with us, a guy, he's Mahesh, thank you, I couldn't think of the name. How many were there? Do you remember? It was in Columbia. It was in the other interface center. Mahesh Shabda. I see some hands. Yeah. And that night, ever since my father had died when I was 16, he died of cancer, I had this fear that one day I was going to die of cancer. And I would look at obituaries and I'd see, oh, my, that person died of cancer. Whoa, that person died of cancer. And so that night, I said, Mahesh, could you pray for me? And he was praying for a lot of people, of course. And he prayed for me. And I was delivered, totally delivered. You know, to this day, I mean, I know one day I'm going to die. I don't know how I'm going to die, you know, and it might be cancer. I don't know, but it doesn't bother me. It doesn't worry me. I'm not obsessed thinking about it. I was totally delivered. And the next day, as I'm driving around Columbia, I'm thinking the Lord was here. And there's all these people living here that didn't even know it. Wow. And I wasn't thinking in a critical or judgmental way. It was really my heart was breaking. I was saying, wow, the Lord was here. And these people, look at all these people. They had no idea. Because God showed up and a lot of people were touched that evening, not just myself. And so Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. So Jacob moves on to be with Uncle Laban. And gosh, he became a busy man. He ended up having four different women from whom he had 11 different children. It was 20 years. They kept him pretty busy. So I don't want to digress too much there. You can let your mind wander as far as you wanted to and then just stop, okay? But he was a busy guy. And if you read the scripture, read Genesis. I mean, you know, he's first Uncle Laban gives him his daughter Leah for his wife, you know, and then he says, wait a minute, you tricked him. And he says, okay, here's Rachel. And then Rachel doesn't have any children, so she gives him her concubine, and so he has another one. And then Leah sees that, so she gives him her servant, and he has children by her. I mean, this guy, he's staying pretty busy. So and at the end of 20 years, he has 11 children. Yeah. And God shows up again. And God says to him, go back to the land of your fathers and your relatives, and I will what? I will be with you. I will be with you. So he gathers everybody together, and he says he's going back. Now, if you were in his shoes, what might you be thinking? Bingo. Esau is going to kill me. You know, why am I going to go back? You know, I'm doing pretty well here, although he had a lot of conflict with his uncle, awful lot of conflict. But, you know, why am I going to go? Esau, he's after me. This is it. But in obedience to God, he packs everybody up. This big caravan with, because he's a wealthy man now. He's got animals, he's got cattle, he's got sheep, he's got goats, he's got donkeys, he's got, and this huge family, and they all head back to the land he came from, to his fathers, the land of his fathers. And guess what happens? He has another dream. And he's wrestling with, some people think an angel, some people think it was Jesus. We don't know precisely, but it was a representative of God. And he says, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you've struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. And what happened to him? They broke his hip. He walked with a limp. Yeah. Now, you know, we can think of that. Oh, it's just, you know, it's just a little hurt, you know. Just a little pain, a little bursitis maybe. This came home to me ironically. I mean, I had this message ready to go. This came to me last night. Anybody know what happened last night? The quarterback for Alabama, this guy who's headed for the Heisman Trophy, had his hip crushed. Okay, by another player. All right. Now I'm hearing this about the game, and I'm looking online. And I find out they took him by helicopter to the hospital. So I'm thinking, this is serious. You know, you don't go to they don't take you by helicopter. So what can happen is the bone in your hip can press against the major femoral. Is that the right word? Femoral. Thank you. Femoral. I knew the doctors would know here, doctors and nurses. Femoral artery, and you can bleed to death. They were concerned that he was going to die, or you can possibly lose your leg. Yeah. I mean, this was really a big deal. And so he's out of commission for the rest of the season. Anybody remember Bo Jackson? He had that same injury. It put him out the rest of his career. Yeah. So this young man's a believer. Look what he tweeted. Thank you for all the prayers and well wishes. God always has a plan. Wow. Isn't that amazing? God always has a plan. What maturity for such a young man. I mean, here his season's over. His career may be over. He probably won't get the Heisman Trophy. Alabama probably may not even get in the playoffs now. All those things in an instant are gone. And he's saying, God always has a plan. Wow. Isn't that amazing? In fact, speaking of plans, we forgot to recognize Alice. Alice is here this morning. Alice Phillips, this is the first time Alice has been back with her new kidney. Welcome. Welcome, Alice, and welcome to your new kidney. All right. So, wow. Well, I love the end of this story. Because when he comes back, he prepares to meet Esau. And he's afraid. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He's not sure how he's going to be received. And it says, but Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Wow. Come on. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Was God with Jacob? Amen. He was with him in every way we've just seen, even into the reconciliation that he was able to make with his brother. So, how about you and me? Well, I want to remind us of some things this morning. God the Father was with Jesus, and Jesus was with the Father in the beginning. John chapter 1 begins with, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. And at the end of John chapter 17, Jesus says, now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I say this every Christmas. It's not quite Christmas yet, but I'll say it today. Jesus was not plan B. Okay? God the Father didn't say, man, the world's a mess. Things aren't going the way I thought or hoped they would. We got to do something. And Jesus didn't say, okay, I'll go. I volunteer. I'll go to make a difference. Jesus was with the Father from the beginning. His birth into this earth, his death and resurrection, all those things were in the plans from what? From the beginning. From the beginning. Yeah. Now, God the Father was with Jesus on the earth. John chapter 8. This is from the Passion Translation. You will know me as I am after you've lifted me up from the earth as the Son of Man. Then you will realize that I do nothing on my own initiative, but I only speak the truth that the Father has revealed to me. I am his messenger, and he is always what? He is always with me, for I only do that which delights his heart. And guess what? I love the way the Passion translates this last part of that verse. These words caused many respected Jews to believe in him. Whoa. How about that, huh? Everybody say whoa. Whoa. All right. Just want to make sure everybody's awake here. Okay. Well, God the Father wants to be with you. Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home what? With him. That's male and female. That's not just with men. In fact, I think it's a lot easier for God to make his home with women than it is with men sometimes. We can be very stubborn. Yes, this is true. Bob Mumford used to always say, how come my wife always gets it before I do? You know. Then Jesus came close to them and said, Matthew 28, all the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go on my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I've commanded you, and never forget what? That I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. He is with you every day. Every day he's with you. Every day he's with you. No matter what we're going through, no matter whether the sky seems dark or it's a bright, sunny day, he's with us. We go through seasons of life, yes? Everybody? Yeah? I was thinking of this on my prayer walk yesterday as I looked at the trees, and they're almost bare now. They've almost lost all their leaves. And I thought, it won't be long, and we'll see those trees covered with snow. And then it won't be that much longer, and we'll see them budding again. And then we'll see new growth, and we'll see this beautiful foliage, and then that will turn spectacular colors as we just enjoyed this fall. And then those leaves will fall and a new season will begin. Life takes us through seasons, but God is with us through every season of life. He is with you. He is with me. He delights to be with us. And not only that, but God the Father wants you to be with Him forever. Whoa, forever. Isn't that exciting? Forever. How long is forever? That's a long time, isn't it? Infinity and beyond. Yes, I like that. Everybody remember the movie Toy Story, Infinity and Beyond? Yeah, who remembers Toy Story? So when I taught math, still teach it some, but when I was teaching math, I would talk with them about a line, L-I-N-E, a line. It goes on for what? Infinity and beyond. So I draw a line on the board, and then I draw it up on the wall. So there's one at the Lamb of God School. There's one at Chapel. Different walls have my line. And all the kids would go, Mr. Reinhardt, you can't do that. You can't draw on the wall. And I just take it and I draw as far as I could reach. I said it goes infinity and beyond. And that is the joy that is set before you and me, that we can be with God the Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit forever and ever and ever, beyond what our minds can even possibly comprehend. Jesus said in John chapter 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house has many rooms. If I would have told you that, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen? Amen. All right. Wow. What a great promise. Wow. And lastly, God the Father wants to be with you so much that He's given you a gift. What's that gift? The Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Wow. How many of you remember the day you were filled with the Holy Spirit? Anybody remember that? I sure remember. I felt like I'd put my hand in a 220 socket. I mean, and my family thought I had gone nuts. My mother called in the pastor of the church we had grown up in to talk with me because they were afraid that I had gone off the deep end. Guess what? I had. I had. Wow. Thank you, Father, for that gift you give us, the gift of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I have a video to share with you. It's by Rita Springer, Fred. Fred was just with her husband, Kevin Springer, a few weeks ago. And it's called Our God is With Us. Well, not there. Should have the video in the box there if it didn't come up.
Our God is with us. He
Are you able to get us back to the PowerPoint, Stu, there for a second? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord is with you. He's with us. And, you know, I spoke about the many and various ways in which we can be with someone. He is as close as someone can possibly be. Okay. He's within you. He's right there. He's right there. Jesus is God with us, God with you. All that God is, all that God purposes, all of God's fullness is with us in Jesus. And we are called to respond, to live a with you life towards God. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you for the privilege of serving you, of walking with you, and we thank you that you walk with us, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Lord, you never leave us. You never forsake us. You're always there with us. And we have the promise, the confidence, the joy of knowing that we will be with you forever, forever. Thank you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Paul, if you'd come and we'll do the Aaronic benediction, please. And if you all will stand with me. As we close our service, Paul, if you're visiting for the first time,